thanksgiving and praise that we come to Thee. We know we can do so directly as afforded us by Thy Son. May God the Holy Spirit take the passages and principles that we study together this evening and make them a source of challenge, comfort, and rest in our lives, for we ask in Christ's name, amen. All right, the challenging verse again is verse 1 of the 4th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And before I forget, Cindy, would you see me afterwards? I have something for you. Verse 1 of the 4th chapter of Hebrews again says, therefore, and remember the therefore is the reflexive word indicating that something has been said previously that we should take note of. Of course, the closing verses of the 3rd chapter referred to the Exodus generation and their failure to enter into the promised land. The promised land was a physical picture of our spiritual rest in Christ. And the reason why they didn't enter in as a result of the last verse of chapter 3 is because they did not mix the promise with faith. So he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, and that's a statement of fact, let us, that is, believers of the church age, fear lest any of you, I love the way he does that. See what the writer is doing here? He says, let us fear lest any of you, I'm not going to wait for you, he's saying. Yeah. Should, I rather, seem to come short of it. And the it has its antecedents found in the word rest. In other words, it was the full intention of the writer of the book of Hebrews to enter into that rest which God had prepared for him. As we'll see later, it was finished before the foundations of the world. God had prepared this rest for his people. For Israel, it was a physical rest in a physical land under the maximum protection of the Lord Jesus Christ in pre-incarnate form as the angel of the Lord. You see, he was there, he held his battlefield royalty, and obviously he fought on their behalf. And whenever they got out of line, that's when they lost. But whenever they were with it and doing exactly as they were told to do, in other words, mixing faith with God's promises, and we see that list later on in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, why God fought for them, protected them, supplied for them, and everything that was necessary for their well-being in the physical realm. Well, the same thing holds true with us in the spiritual realm. God's intent is that we enter into the faith rest concept. And again, I remind you that the highest that the Old Testament believer could achieve in physical form was entering into the rest that God had prepared for them. Whereas in the church age, we begin with faith rest and advance on to occupation with the person of Jesus Christ with the other problem-solving devices that are found in the interim. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as unto them. The word gospel here is, of course, the good news or the good message of what? Of entering into his rest. Remember, a word must be interpreted in the light of its contextual setting. And this term is a very broad term. It means a message that is good. Well, what's the good message for our salvation? The gospel, that is from the standpoint of Christ died for our sins. But what was the good message that it had preached to them as well unto us? It's not the gospel as we know it. It's the good news of entering into the rest that God has prepared for them and for us. And then he goes on and says, but that word which they heard was profitless, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. So with that, we took up and began a study of the last two parts of the faith rest drill or the faith rest technique. The first part is quite obvious, that we've studied in detail since I've been the pastor of the church, and that's close to 30 years now, and that is faith mechanics. You simply come across a passage of Scripture, you believe it, and you live your life in the light of it. Now, if you say you believe it and don't live your life in the light of it, then you don't believe it. In other words, it's just simply making a mental assent to a fact. And the example that I used the other evening was, and I think it was last night, I'm not sure where I was last night. I was here, wasn't I? In any event, the concept of resting under, that is, sleeping under all kinds of conditions, ideal and not so ideal. And, of course, the fourth psalm tells us that we can both lie down and sleep and be comforted because the Lord is with us. He never ceases to be with us. That's why I get a little annoyed when I hear that ludicrous prayer on the part of some people, Lord, be with us as we travel this journey. Well, he can't help but be with us. Unless you're trying to convince him to be in the atmosphere and or tactic of that which you're going to use, and that generally ends up being fruitless. God cannot be changed, by the way, and he can't be convinced to do something that he doesn't want to do. Rather, he would rather you change to conform to what he wants you to do. And this be with us stuff, you notice I never use it, and I trust that you never do either. It's the last two points or principles of the faith rest drill that we have not covered in detail. We covered it once about 6 months ago, if not longer, and I'm sure that most of you have the first part well solidified in your mind. Now, getting back to the first part, let's take that verse. Now you're in a situation where things aren't quite as peaceful as you would like them to be. Can you rest? Yes. But if you sit there and fret all night, you haven't believed that verse. Or you get all upset and nervous about circumstances around you. Well, that says, and it doesn't specify under what conditions the Lord is with us. I remember the night that my wife and I were driving up to someplace in Wyoming, and we stopped overnight. It was a Jackson Hole. No, it was worse than that. The what? Something Rock. It was a wide open town. This place was wild. Gunshots. I mean, people screaming and yelling. So we got this motel unawares because by, you know, by the time we got into the motel, it was still daylight. The sun went down, and that town just went ballistic. I mean, every bar opened up, and everybody opened up to the bars. And they were shooting up the street, and they were falling all over themselves, and we had people outside of our window fighting. We had a good night's sleep. Of course, the fact that I had a round jacked in helped. God doesn't say you're fools. Okay? He gave Israel swords. Well, I don't use a sword in this day and age for personal protection. That is not an act of faithlessness. Now, that's like years ago, I told people that because of what I suspected, it didn't never occur, but what I suspected, that they should have some food stored. And that was only because of evidence that I had received from sources that were reliable. As a matter of fact, it came so close that the Russians back then, the communists, were all set to invade Eastern Europe. And they'd already set up, and I'd received information with that regard. And so I said, you know what will happen in this country if that ever occurs. Number one, there's going to be panic. And they're going to wipe out everything in the grocery stores. So somebody came up and told me that that was a lack of faith. And so I responded by saying, well, when you go grocery shopping, do you just buy for that moment? Generally, I know in our house, we buy 3 weeks in advance. Am I correct? It's 3 weeks, right? Well, I buy more in between. But in other words, and some people buy a month in advance. Well, what's wrong with buying 6 months in advance? If nothing else, I went on to say, look, if you're right and I'm wrong, all right, and nothing happens, so what have you lost? What have you gained? Food. But if I'm right and you're wrong, don't come pounding on my door. I warned you. Same warning that the writer of the book of Hebrews is giving to the Hebrew believers. There's coming a time where there's going to be famine. And he says, prepare for it. And they said, baloney. And they didn't even say that. Boo. Well, I guess I'm better, but not that much better, huh? Again, as we saw last night, the most important priority in your life must be Bible doctrine. And when it is, that means you will do everything in your power for its perception, cognition, inculcation, metabolization. See, when anything is a number one priority in your life, you always do that first. You opt for it first. That's what you desire to have the most. And I'm not foolish nor simple. I know that there are people that attend Westside Bible that doctrine is not their number one priority, but guess what? The success of their lives reflect it. Because when doctrine is number one, when the Word of God is number one, you'll be here as often as these doors are opened. Years ago, I tried to threaten people. That didn't work. Then I tried to nice them in. That didn't work. So the only thing I have left is just simply telling you, either you are or you don't. Okay. Faith perception begins by emphasizing two power options. The first power option is the filling of the Spirit. Remember, the filling of the Spirit parlays human IQ into spiritual IQ, resulting in Operation Z. And we gave you the formula. Human IQ plus spiritual IQ equals the start of Z. And that's where it all begins. You begin to learn from your right pastor teacher. And the Holy Spirit takes that information, conveys it to the human spirit. The human spirit then accepts it, understands it, because the filling of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, becomes the ultimate teacher. And again, you see, that's where the rub comes in. You've got too many believers. They come to class. Doctrine isn't a number one priority. I frankly am not even sure why they're here. But in any event, because they could go to a church where they only have to go once a week. And then if you learned a bunch of rules, a bunch of don'ts, you'd fit in. You don't have to know any doctrine. That's proved by some of the doctrinal statements that I've read of late. But boy, if you challenge one of their little legalistic principles, they'll jump all over your case. Because the average church tries to survive on 5 plus 2, and they're all negatives. Well, what about the study of the Word? Oh, well, we get the Word when? On Wednesday night. Well, when is that? For about a half hour before prayer meeting. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And they're supposed to remember from one Wednesday night to the next. And whoever chose Wednesday night, by the way, well, that's midweek. And I've actually heard people say regarding our people, you mean you go Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Does he make you go? Do you have to go? How about I want to go? Now you're strange. See? You're an oddball. But see, they try to live their Christian life based on legalism. So they don't do this. So what? So unbelievers don't do it either. When did that ever become a standard for the Christian life? You ever tried this, by the way, as a matter of just conversation? You know a fellow believer that's not a part of Westside? Ask him. By the way, I'm interested. How do you think a believer is filled with the Spirit? And sit back and listen to the biggest bit of nonsense you ever heard in your life. But don't laugh. Pity them. Can you give us the, who's God? Other than the big honcho in the sky, which I think is blasphemous. What's that other one they use? The man upstairs. Yes, thank you. That's blasphemous. So do you know anything about the essence of God? He's love. Apparently the songwriter thought that, because it's in the song. Emptied himself of all but his love. So all you got is a big person with love. That's it. How absurd. See what I'm talking about? And I'm not supposed to get upset at that. Well, I do. Then, of course, the first power option results in the application and consistence of your use of confession if necessary. See, then the Holy Spirit teaches you. You become a student of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter how eloquent or most eloquent I am. It has to do with the words that are being communicated, that are recommunicated to your human spirit by the Holy Spirit. Of course, they have to be accurate to begin with, because I might confuse you. But each of you have particular relevancies when you come to class, as well as needs. It's always been exciting to me to have somebody come to me and say after class, you know, my wife and I, or I was just thinking about that this afternoon, and you addressed it. Or we were just talking about that, and we were wondering what the answer was, and didn't want to ask you, and you addressed it. That happens all the time. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you've never said that to me, that you never think doctrine. But it's only an encouragement to me to see how it's working in our lives. And then I will teach something, and Kurt will say to me, that's exactly what I covered this morning, and you filled in all the cracks. Because all I could give them was 45 minutes. It's just a basic principle of reinforcement. And yet I didn't know what he taught. I go to camp on Friday. I don't know what's gone on there all week. And I'll get up and somebody will say to me, boy, that fills it right in. That's exactly what's been going on here all week. Well, how do I know that? I'm not psychic. And but incidentally, not everybody says that, because apparently the Holy Spirit is ministering to those that do. Now, the others may be shy and just simply rejoice in the fact that I agreed with what the other people said, or disagreed. I do that occasionally. Faith perception begins at the point of hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. At the point of hearing, as we indicated last evening, you're either positive or negative. Right from the start. From the time that we bowed our head in prayer and confessed any sin, when I say amen and I say either open your Bibles or let's continue where we left off last night, you either go positive or negative. Or in the course of the teaching. When I first got here, you know, there wasn't very many people, and we'd see lights all lit up. You know, the little learning lamp that you people have on your head? And I'd be teaching away, and all of a sudden I'd boop, 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 boop. It was too much. And I realized that. I just said, I think we've gotten enough tonight. Let's pray. And that was only like 35 to 40 minutes. You have to develop the ability to concentrate as an adult. Most have the concentration span of a two-year-old, a second grader, maybe two-year-old. You ever watch your children, by the way, when they're enthralled in a television program? You can't get anything across to them. They're glued to that thing. And finally, there's a break. Because all television people know that the average adult cannot be kept concentrating on one thing for more than 14 minutes. So that's where the commercials come in. And they have to change it and make it so that it's different than what you've been watching. And of late, you notice how ridiculous they are? I told my wife last night, I've watched that commercial 4 times. Now I finally know what they're selling. Commercial was great. But what are you selling? There's one that I watch on CNN. I still can't figure out, other than catfish. They've got this catfish farmer, and he's standing out in the water, and he says, I'm very careful on what I feed my catfish, and he reaches in, and you know, he does this with the grain, and he says, this water has been, it's from underground cisterns or something, and then they shift, and they go to a chef, and he says, man, I love so-and-so's catfish. They're so white and flaky and so on. What are they selling? Catfish? I mean, at least if you see the bunny, you know it's an Energizer battery that's running him. They make that very plain. Unfortunately, they do not outlast every other battery made. As soon as you hear it, you're either up or down, or in any area. See, that's how Z works. You can shut down in any stage of Operation Z. Stage one, the pastor teacher communicates to your human spirit by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here's your human spirit. Is it teachable? Sure, and all you have to have, see, all that human spirit has to be doing from your soul is sending out positive signals. You began that way. That's how you got saved. The Holy Spirit is required to minister to the soul of that unbeliever that's sending out a positive signal. I want to know about the gospel. And incidentally, having said that, no unbeliever will die with positive volition. I don't care if he has to have the rocks minister to him. The word will get to that person. And if you don't do it, guess what, folks? Somebody else will, and you lose. All right, second phase is it goes from the human spirit into the left lobe, where it is stored as gnosis. Now, gnosis, unfortunately, is simply the knowledge thereof. It has to begin somewhere. That's like you go to school, you learn something, you then take a test. And I can remember when I was in college, I'd ride up on my motorcycle, I'd get off my bike, I'd be swinging my helmet. I walk up to somebody and say, how you doing, guy? He says, don't talk to me. I say, why? What did I do? He says, I got to take a test this morning. And he says, I don't want to say a thing except go into that classroom, get my pencil ready. And as soon as he gives me that paper, I can pour my head out onto the page. Then afterwards, I'll see you at noon at lunch. You ever done that? That's gnosis. What's the problem with that? You can't apply it. You can't apply it. Have you ever met somebody that's been on, here's the way they put it, been on tapes for 28 years, and yet what do you see in application? Zero. It's all gnosis. And they think they're mature believers because they can diagram this and they can go through that and they can give you the 14 points of eternal security and they can go through all of the essence of God and quote at least 9 verses for each one. Well, you know, we do have memory, folks. And all they are is a hard drive. You access the hard drive, you bring the information from it, but it's the operator that's doing the operation. It's the operator that benefits by that information. So there's got to be operation. And that's the last phase. gnosis to epinosis. From there, it has cycled down into the compartments of the soul. We're not going to go into that now. We have charts in the tape room. But you know, one of them is frame of reference, another one is category storage, another one is vocabulary storage. Remember? Okay. We have this all on one chart now. It looks a little cluttered, but you can get it. It's good. We used to have four separate charts. And so David decided he's going to incorporate the whole works. Matter of fact, we're waiting on a color version of the Arrogance Complex. I did say color, or did I say a colored version? Okay. In this day and age, you have to watch your EDs. The Holy Spirit teaches the human spirit, making doctrine understandable. That's why it's so important that you're filled with the Spirit. Now, that doesn't necessarily explain why you can't understand things sometimes. If you don't have the proper frame of reference, see, when it finally ends up into your frame of reference, that sets up your ability to learn more information. Secondly, a lot of information is sent into your vocabulary storage. You may not even be familiar with the vocabulary. And we know that English is a problem. I was just thinking today. I watch CNN. To me, it's reliable. And they were talking about the removal of mines from certain areas. Well, you know, mine, M-I-N-E. Were they talking about the explosive ones that people step on? Or were they talking about those that you go like a gold mine or a silver mine or a whatever mine? Or do you say, hey, that's mine? Same word. I came across one the other day. I think it had at least six different meanings. Exactly the same word. Well, now, we try to make it simpler by assigning technical information and technical nomenclature, vocabulary, to a particular doctrine. So when I say reconciliation, I don't have to say, stuff and things. And remember, anything that's worthy in life has technical information connected with it. If I say UART, how many people understand that? One, two, three, four. That's it. SCSI. There wasn't a missile during the conflict. IDE. These same people, probably. Computer people. Computer language. That doesn't mean you're ignorant or stupid. It just means that you don't say to the guy, you walk into a shop and you say, I need a controller for my hard drive. And the guy says, MFM, SCSI, or IDE. And you go, I don't know. It might even be RL. What do you do, buy all four? Now you're going to find out. When you go into a tire shop to buy tires, you don't say, that round thing with rubber? No, you connect it with a word, don't you? Sure. So sometimes people come in here and they look at me like, what kind of language is this? I can think of at least one person who would probably be offended thinking it was obscenities. That's like my second daughter. Was it you, Robin? You wrote a thing one time and you used a word and the teacher crossed it out and said that isn't even a word in the English language. And I got furious. And we looked it up in a dictionary and gave her the definition. And hey, if you're going to do that to somebody, make sure you have knowledge of the entire dictionary. And I don't mean those little collegiate things. I'm talking about those big fat ones that you see in the middle of libraries. They've just incorporated a whole bunch of them now that are being they're going to be a part of our vocabulary. They've been all along, but they've never been defined. Soccer mom. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's going in the dictionary. Feminazi. You know who came up with that one, don't you? Rush. Limburger. Yeah, so he said, I'm just grateful that they gave me the credit for it. He coined the word. He would. Feminazi. You realize back in the 60s, the word hippie was meaningless. Then it was used all the time. It became a part of our dictionary. Yeah, if you said hippie of a person, you were talking about somebody who had wide bottoms. Look at that hippie. Not that I find anything wrong with the first part. I had a problem with the long-haired, weirdo, stinky types that drove those Volkswagens that were painted all funny colors with the footprint of the Great American Chicken on it. The peace sign, you remember that one? Oh, I love that. Then the Holy Spirit takes that information, sends it to the left lobe. It is then converted from gnosis to epinosis, and then it begins to fill all of those storage categories that you have in your soul. That's how it works. So then when I get up here and I say something, the Holy Spirit takes that information out of vocabulary, frame of reference, and doctrinal storage, and builds on it. So that when it goes back, it's always enhanced. You notice, by the way, that I don't keep teaching the same thing over and over again each time we add something. It's because I've learned something. Here's a good example of it. 30 years ago, when I taught Faith Rest Technique, it was mixing the promises of God by faith. That was it. Every couple of months, I get upgrades from Baraka. And I notice that when I look at the bytes, it may have been the original doctrine, may have been 65 bytes. And then in 1994, it went up to 112,000 bytes. Then it goes up now. I've got some that are well up into the 200,000 byte. What's happened? More information. The older you get, the more you should learn. Unless you've already fallen at your ages into mental set. That's terrible. You know, where you're unteachable. Well, I've lived all these years that way. I can just... Yeah, Bubba, sure you can. I'm not talking about you either, Carl. Poor Carly got that name Bubba for some reason. Although I suspect it's been diminishing quite a bit. It hasn't? At least you're still Bubba, huh? I still see you two as the frog and Miss Piggy. Every time I see my granddaughter watching Sesame Street and the frog comes on and Miss Piggy comes out, all I can think is Carl and Rhonda. Not literally, of course, you understand. They dress that way at one of our Halloween club things that we had, because that was Dan Hill's birthday as well. Imagine being born on a night like that. Mother must have said, Of course, I found out years later I was born on the day that Franklin Roosevelt was inaugurated. See, the older inauguration day was in March. Now it's what, the 1st of January? It's in January. It used to be in March. And it was March the 2nd, 1933. It was a wonderful time for me, but it was an awful time for this country. Let's not get into that. You see, if you believe the doctrine that's been taught, in other words, you accept it academically, then you cycle it in. Now it's set up to be launched experientially. And every time you come to class, you draw on that. See, the Holy Spirit goes into that library and says, yeah, he's got information with that regard. Now, getting back to my initial statement, that would explain why certain people who may be positive still don't quite get it. You don't have enough information yet. Relax. It'll fill in. That's the beauty of coming to class on a regular basis. Satan has a field day with a lot. You know what he does? He says, I'm going to keep them away from that class because that's going to fill in a gap that they needed. There's a game that has something like that in it where you're looking for something. And oh, years ago they had bottle caps and you had to spell Pepsi. And I had 60 P's, 60 E's, but I needed the I. I'll trade you 40 P's for an I. Or the same with the cards, traded cards, baseball cards, football cards. You know, I'll trade you my Roger Maris for your rookie year Mickey Mantle. Ha, ha, ha. But back then, you see, rookie year Mickey Mantle wasn't worth, it was worth a stick of bubble gum. Because that's what they used to put them in. Now it's up into the thousands. Just like that person who apparently has won the Powerball and doesn't know it. $100,000 is sitting waiting for somebody who won Powerball. They have the winning number. And they have till tomorrow to cash it in. Because they want it back in March. You see some of you go. I remember one day I walked in and I said to Carl, I said, look at this, Carl. So those are the numbers. Yeah, sure is. Look at the date. It was a year to the date before. Exact numbers. If I'd have waited a year, used the same numbers, bingo. I quit doing that, though, because gambling is sinful. Not only are his jokes bad, but he's getting legalistic in his old age. See, the believer must exercise positive volition toward doctrine that's being taught. And you can't sit there, by the way, and say, oh, yeah, I know all that. You just shut down. We had a guy here years ago, you know, I'd say, all right, let's review. And I saw him he's sitting way in the back of the auditorium. He went, just like that. So I said, what is wrong with you? And you know, he looked, I said, stand up. And I chewed on him for 15 minutes. Father's sitting right next to him. You ought to be glad you weren't here when I first started. 36 years old, tiger. I have cooled and calmed considerably, to a degree. When was the last time you heard me ask somebody to stand up and chew them out for an hour? I couldn't even go an hour. I'd probably say, stand up. Sit down. You see, if you believe the doctrine that's been taught to you, then you're able to metabolize it. Now, that's proved every time my granddaughter sits down to the table to eat. Talking about one particular granddaughter. Some of my others are picky, too, but this one, she's not young, she's not old enough to have the experience of knowing what something tastes like. So the other day, I made some of these French fries, you know, that you put in the oven that are frozen.
And she says, oh, I don't want that. I says, why? She says, I only like McDonald's French fries. Oh, really? I don't want that. I said, you don't even know what it tastes like. See, she was turned off. Then she says, all right, would you fill my plate? These are better than McDonald's. Oh. I guess that's where the expression came from. Try it, you'll like it. Same with doctrine. You haven't tasted it before? Oh, I don't want that. Try it. Then eventually you see all that doctrine begins to flow into your stream of consciousness. Your stream of consciousness is the staging area for all thought and subsequent action. You understand, of course, you can't act in any area without first thinking. That's why when we talk to our children, we should be thorough about it. We shouldn't say, why weren't you thinking when you did that? They were. Who knows what? No, the correct phrase would be, you should have thought correctly with regard to that, not why weren't you thinking? Wouldn't it be awful if our bodies just acted independently of our mind? It would be disastrous. The only control we have of the body is our thinking. All action results from thinking. So now this doctrine is setting residually in the stream of consciousness. Now then, you're confronted with a situation. Bingo, that's your first reaction to the filling of the Spirit. Why? Because you've overwritten the sin nature's desire. I was running a program the other day, and I wanted to reload it. I didn't think it had loaded it properly. And it says, do you wish to write over this file? I said, yes. And it did. And by the way, it worked. So apparently there was something wrong. That can be dangerous sometimes because it may pick up the glitch. But nevertheless, it rewrote it. So what happens when you come to class? Your soul is rewritten. It overwrites the information you had in the past. Unfortunately, that information is still there, but it's cataloged under S drive. S for Satan, or C for cosmic system, or D for destructive. And I could get stupid about it too. Now it's circulated by the Holy Spirit into your stream of consciousness and has spiritual value because it's usable and applicable. Now as soon as you apply it, that's where spiritual growth results. Look, let me try to reiterate what I've said often here. You don't grow by coming to class. You don't grow spiritually by coming to class. That's an error. You grow spiritually by using what you've been taught in class. It's just like saying, you don't have to exercise and you will have a well-toned body. Uh-uh. I was looking at my skin the other day, and I can remember seeing 65-year-old men with the same skin. And I'm saying, look at it, it's all wrinkled up. It's getting to look kind of prunish. That's what age is, I guess. And it's so much thinner than it was. All I got to do is whack my hand and blood is all over the place. But I can remember years ago, any place I went, camp, I always brought my weights with me. Every place. Of course, you couldn't prove it by looking at me now, but some of you weren't here 30 years ago. Doctrine is circulated through your frame of reference ends up in memory center. That's why you can recall it. Well, let me list them for you. Get these down. Frame of reference. That's the first place of category. Memory center. Purpose recall. And please remember that memory center is exercised by the Holy Spirit, so it doesn't depend upon your great memory. It depends on His memory. As long as it's there, once it's been stored, He'll do His job. I've had people say to me, well, you know, all my life I've had a problem memorizing. Hey, don't give me the flesh stuff. I'm talking spiritual concepts here. You get that information in there and locked in solid, He'll get it out of there. He's the expert. Getting back to computers again. I can account for every single byte in my computer, and I know where every single operating program is and what it does, and if it doesn't, it's out. I've sat down with people and I've said to them, what is this program? And they go, then why is it in here? I have no idea. Remember the first time I went down to see John Hentz's computer, and his was way over mine at that point, because Terry and others were down there at the time, and they set it up for him. And he says, let me show you this. And he was going to bring up a doctrine. Couldn't find it. I said, how do you lose a complete file? I don't understand that. Well, humanistically speaking, we can lose files, right? Anybody here ever lost a file? Sure you have. I haven't. I've lost the entire hard drive. Especially when you say format C start dot star. I mean, you know, those are wrong commands to give, but you're a young computer guy and you want to find out what that does. And there's always a warning, all data on C drive will be destroyed. Oh. It's like the first virus I ever picked up, man. I took that disk and I treated it like it had, I could infect me. Into the garbage it went. Memory center, doesn't matter your memory. Remember, human IQ plus spiritual IQ. Next, vocabulary storage. That's where you start learning new words. Like propitiation, reconciliation, expiation. You start to learn concepts regarding eternal security and related passages. You pick up on words that have more meaning than they've ever had in their lives. If you had Roman Catholic background and you walked in here and never knew what it meant, and I said, it's time for confession. See, that word triggers a whole idea. And so they start looking around for the little box or booth or whatever you call it. I never went, so I don't know anything about it. They didn't have that in the Greek church. If they did, I never went anyway. Categorical storage. That's where all the information you've learned is categorized. And again, you see, it is God the Holy Spirit that sets it up in the categorical fashion in which it was taught. I liken this to a library. You walk into a library and you say, I want a book. It's about this thick and it's about this big and it's about a whale. That's not going to cut it. They catalog their books certain ways, generally by title, authors, fiction, nonfiction, historical, biblical, in every single department, literature, the arts, including music. And then they have a numerical system. And so you go over to that file and you pull the thing open and you look up the author, and he has 12 books in the library, and you find the title of the one that you want, all about whales. Hey, yeah, there he is. And it says E1269. You look around, you notice ironically, that the place is set up, not alphabetically, well, it is to a degree, and you see an E section. And it'll say E 0001 to and the number. Doesn't take a genius to figure this out. You've got a number in front of you. Walk over there, walk down the aisle, and you find out that somebody checked it out. Because it's not on the shelf. That's categorical storage. Conscience, the place of norms and standards. Your momentum department. And the wisdom department. And when these start to fill up, something very strange occurs in your subconscious. When I get home, I've got two garbage cans to put out. See, the subconscious is the garbage can of the soul. And it isn't marvelous, by the way, that we have pickups. I don't know where or what time yours is. Ours is Thursday morning. And it's so refreshing to know that that garbage is gone. It's not going to stink and so on. Because a truck came along with those automatic thingies, you know, and brings it up and puts it back down again. And I happen to have two because we're a very sloppy family. No, we just have a lot of garbage. For two people, I have three people actually. I can't believe we need two garbage cans. But then I've got the shop and I throw everything in there too, you see. An occasional body or two and so on. You have garbage in your soul. It's called the subconscious. And when you see these begin to fill up, they take the garbage out. And don't you ever let anybody else try to get in there and get that out like some goofy psychiatrist. Because if you're not ready to handle it, if you don't have something to put in its place, it's going to become consciousness and you'll end up a wacko. But see, when the superiority of doctrine goes in and takes that out, you may have been using it and don't even know it. Remember, only the person who sees it knows that they're operating under their subconscious. The person doesn't. So if you said to them, oh, that's subconscious thinking, they're going to deny it. Hang-ups. Say, do you know you? No, I don't have that. And sometimes wives make the awful mistake of informing their husbands about something that they're unaware of that they're doing. And their children have picked up the same thing, and he's yelling at them, where'd you get that from? And she yells out, from you. Let the Spirit of God take care of that. That's his business. He's in the garbage taking out business. And no matter how you came into the Christian life, with a lot of garbage or little garbage, you still have to get rid of it. What's maturity, by the way? I would suspect that maturity is an empty garbage can and a full soul of doctrine. Father, thank you for the time together. Dismiss us now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We'll see you tomorrow night.